What's good, family? You are listening to the Black Baseball Mixtape, the go-to podcast where Black baseball players and professionals tell their story from their point of view. The Black Baseball Mixtape is brought to you by our partners, Stilo Sports, the Players Alliance, Orentia 21, and Numbers Game. Please make sure you check out all of our partners, and if you want to join us and be a partner of the Black Baseball Mixtape, please email me at blackbaseballmixtape@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your boy Cheats. On this episode of the Black Baseball Mixtape, we're talking to Dante Williams, an outfielder for the Bowie Bay Sox. That is the AA affiliate of my favorite team, the Baltimore Orioles. Dante has an incredible journey. He's a Las Vegas native. He grew up playing in those little leagues in the desert, and he's going to tell you about his journey from little leagues in Vegas to the University of Arizona to professional baseball. You don't want to miss this episode. One of the things I love about fireworks is what they used to call them. You look at Dante. Dante's about 5'8", 5'9". He's explosive. They look at him as a leadoff hitter in many ways, with ability to swipe a lot of bags. He swiped a lot of bags at the University of Arizona. But it was refreshing because in this day and age, you always see, you know, prospects that stand 6'6", 6'5", and, you know, 250 pounds or so forth. Dante is not that. He's a bit of a throwback when you look at size and stature, and he's making it happen. It was great to see that diversity in the game, not just with Dante being a Black player, but also a player that's not prototypically what you're seeing in regards to what people are getting excited about. He is an amazing player and an amazing person. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, Dante Williams of the Bowie Bay Sox. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Black Baseball Mixtape. I am joined by Dante Williams of the Bowie Bay Sox. I am honored to have you on the show, my brother. This is my second time seeing you play here in Richmond. You played here last season. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be joining here.
So we'll start as we always start. We always start with what's happening right now, and then we'll go back into a little bit of your journey as a baseball player. But right now, Bowie Bay Sox, second year, AA. How are you feeling health-wise? How are you adjusting? Early part of the season, what are you looking to accomplish?
Health-wise, everything is 100%. I mean, I can thank God every day for just having me out here. Just grateful to be around the staff that I am, weight training, training staff, just getting my body right every single day. But just it's a long season, so just doing whatever you can day by day to be able to do what you can do on the field. Early season, I mean, you go through struggles, you go through different swing adjustments through spring training, so just trying to find something that sticks with you and just continue working on that main thing, keeping the main thing every single day. So coming out here and just doing what I have to do, getting my body right, just being in the right state of mind is just the biggest thing.
I like when you said that, keep the main thing the main thing. I always like to ask professional players like yourself, what is like the biggest adjustment or even the hardest part of being a pro? A lot of people take it for granted and say, oh, all you got to do is wake up and play baseball every day. But it's a career, it's a job, it's something that you have to adjust your mindset. What's the hardest part, or like, just how do you adjust to being a professional baseball player?
You kind of mentioned it. It's a long journey, an everyday thing. So just being able to be as consistent as you can every single day, no matter the good or the bad or what you're going through personally, off the field, on the field. So just being that same person that shows up every single day, and just kind of, you know, just working at your craft. Everybody is the end goal is being a big leaguer, so just being out and trying to perfect your craft at the end of the day.
We're going to go back because you played at the University of Arizona. Was it a big adjustment coming from, you know, big-time college baseball to playing in the pros? Was there things that you still had to learn?
Oh, of course. There's on a daily basis, there's a lot of things that I mess up on, I screw up on, and that I want to, you know, put myself in that position to be coachable and learn some new things. So, of course, the jump from Arizona to pro ball, Being at a great D1 program, we had great coaches. At Arizona, it was MLB training ground. Mm-hmm. So everything that we practiced deliberately was for to set ourselves up for a Pro Bowl. So I feel like I had a little jump start just because of what we had around there, the culture, and you know, just the stuff that we built. But coming into Pro Bowl, it's definitely, you know, you get nervous a little bit, but you just kind of different situation, different change of scenery. So it's just continue your craft, just continue to feed into what you're good at and knowing who you are as yourself.
All right, take me back to the beginning. Where did baseball start for you?
At a very young age, it was actually one of my old coaches. He saw me playing t-ball. It was just me and my dad playing t-ball. Never really, I kind of was in baseball, but he just saw something in me that nobody else saw. So it was at a very young age, he approached my dad. His name is Coach Caesar. Still to this day, one of my biggest mentors. And
this is out in Vegas?
Las Vegas, and we grew up 2 minutes from each other, which was the best part about it. So he was just one of those guys that whatever I needed, whenever I needed, was always there to help me, assist me. As I started getting older, kind of playing club ball and all that stuff, he was my second family, so I would always rely and depend on Coach Caesar to get me places, to get me to play games and all that stuff. So that's a very important relationship to me. One that I never, you know, want to leave or anything, just because I wouldn't be in my shoes that I am today if it wasn't for him getting me into the game.
That's amazing. That's a great story and a testament to kind of youth coaches and coaches that see things in players, especially players that look like you, look like me. When did you realize, like, yo, I'm actually pretty good at this game. Like, I might be able to make something happen. I'm not talking even in high school. Just when did you realize, like, you were better than everybody else, basically?
That's funny you say that. I've always been blessed with God-given abilities. So it's always been, you know, my family's always told me the same thing. It's just thank the man above just for, you know, whatever he puts in your life and everything like that. So I would just playing, having fun.
Is there any story that you realized, like, no, I think I got this?
No particular story. I just remember that every time I'm in the dugout, I'm, like, creating some type of havoc. I had a nickname called Fireworks. Everybody called me Fireworks Starter. So it was like, I'm the leadoff hitter. I go up there. I do whatever I have to do to get on base. I'm stealing two bags. I'm walking, hitting home runs, something like that. So I just started getting the name Fireworks. So, you know, in Little League or stuff like that, you kind of grow up doing the chants in the dugouts and all that stuff. So that was something that, you know, kind of stuck with me. And from there, it was Firework and, you know, just kind of go out there and just have fun and do whatever you do best. So honestly, there wasn't one specific moment, but I knew ever since Coach Caesar came up to me, it was that was the moment where, you know, I just kind of take everything that I have and just kind of put it into this.
How was your experience in, like, youth baseball growing up? Were you able to play with other kids that looked like yourself, black and brown kids, or was it more of an isolated experience?
That's a great question, because Coach Caesar is – he's a Latino. So he's Hispanic, and his family is Hispanic. And I would say there was probably two white people on the team.
That's it.
Two or three white people on the team, which is –
Rare,
very, 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 very rare. And my team, it was a lot of Hispanics, mm-hmm. and black kids. So
you were comfortable. I was used to playing with people of color.
Very, very comfortable. Well. Yeah, very comfortable. So I told you about the Firework nickname. I started as I got older, probably 10, 11, 12. Just always playing on the same team. We always had the same group of kind. And it was Las Vegas Hawks when we first started, and then it turned into Las Vegas Rebels. Okay. Bigger organization, but Las Vegas Hawks was the first team I remember playing on, and I have all the jerseys and everything, and all the zoos are just minorities that didn't have any handouts at the time. It was just like every time we just go out there and it would just be the scrappy team just playing for keeps. That's really what it is.
I love that story. And fast forward as you just, we'll go back, but fast forward as you get into kind of upper level baseball and you notice the number, especially of black kids and black players, decline. Think back to that experience of playing with mostly black and Latino kids. Is that something that you feel was helpful to you in your development?
Yeah, no doubt. And I, at the time, I definitely thought that's how it should be, or that's how it is. You know, as you get older, you see more minorities, more of us kind of in the game. But the more, you know, playing on that team, the more I kind of got older and realized things, it was less of us as I got older. So I was kind of, it kind of was like, why is that? Like, where is this gap? Like, what is going on in between this gap? And, you know, what is the reason why that's happening? So, I mean, it was definitely thoughts and just being, a lot of times, there were some teams I would be the only black kid on the team. So it's like
so you went from going to everybody kind of being comfortable looking like you to situations where you were like the only guy.
Right.
And you knew you were there probably because talent alone.
Right. And that, I think that's what drives at that time too, for sure. It drives me a little bit more for sure. Just, you know, just being like, I wouldn't say an outlier, but just being different. I mean,
being an outlier drives you a little bit more. I feel comfortable saying that. That's nothing. That's not a knock on anyone. But like we said, sometimes when you look around, you realize like, yeah, I got a ball. Like I got a ball, and
you definitely have to. Yeah. I mean, there's two different lens of it. There's for sure two different lens of it. And in coming from my background and lifestyle, it's you have to do two times more. Yeah. Like you just have to be deliberate and extra with what you're doing, more intentful with what the work that you're putting in. So
and then you know, I wonder, because that's a message I think a lot of our kids in the game hear. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they seeing, hearing it from your parents or hearing it from your coaches, and then actually seeing it, you look around and you're just like, yo, I get it now.
I mean every Coach Caesar would say it all the time, more work, put more work in every day. And it's crazy because the times that we had growing up practicing, we would spend, it felt like 10 hours on that field. And I going back on it, it probably was like 6 to 8 hours on a Saturday, first thing in the morning, grinding. And it was like that every single day. But it was just, he knew that we didn't know, you know, what we're putting ourselves into. But, you know, as we got older, it was like we train like that just to make it more comfortable for us as we go along, because it just lessons that, you know, we were taught that we just didn't know what we were being taught at the time.
So let's switch gears just a little bit for me to ask, who are your guys growing up? So you're growing up in Vegas, you're playing on the team. Who are who are your top three guys? Who's your big three that you were like, these are pictures on my wall?
I got Ken Griffey Jr. For sure.
Ken
Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, and Jackie Bradley Jr. was a big one. Yeah, that might be a little shock, but as I was high school, college for sure, I was always comparing myself to Jackie Bradley Jr. Play style in the outfield, hit ability, speed, everything, just kind of playing the game free and just having fun with it. But I might have to think about that after this.
I like it though. That's a good one.
Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey for sure. When I was younger, I would try to hit like Ken Griffey Jr. My swing, like if you see some of my old pictures from my backswing, it was Ken Griffey Jr.'s finish. And it was just like, just seeing those guys doing what they do every single day and, you know, just playing with the passion and just the chip on their shoulder.
I was in Camden Yards yesterday from the time of this interview, and I looked at home plate and I looked at the warehouse, and I'm still like in awe. Because like, you see the fence.
Yeah.
You see the crowd above the fence.
Yeah.
Then you see the warehouse. I couldn't imagine being in the stadium when Griffey hit the warehouse in the air. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, I wish I could have been there and just seen Griffey in action,
insane.
Because that's one, like, there's a lot of greats that I've never, of course, watching TV, like watching games on TV is cool, whatever, but just seeing somebody watching their craft and as they work and just what they think about or what you think they would think about as they're going up to hit or something like that, it's just amazing to be able to see.
Since we're on this topic, I want to go back to especially a couple things in college and the pros, but since we're on this topic, if you could think about like that environment, that ideal environment that you had, and it wasn't ideal, I know it was some tough stuff, but an environment that you had in Vegas where you had black and brown kids on the field playing together, playing a lot and having fun.
Yeah.
What do you think we should be doing to get more of that environment?
Oh, man. Honestly, anything we can do. I will say we have a big community now. I mean, I feel like our community has grown within the past 2 years, that whatever, we have resources that we didn't have 5-10 years ago. So it's just being able to make others comfortable and kind of just lifting our hands out and just being an open source of like help, just being helpful. Just if you got questions to ask, if you are scared to ask questions or just don't see yourself in those shoes, just go try it. Just feel like somebody, there's always an open door that you could just put your foot in and just run with it. So, I mean, just being able to really just work together as a unit so we can create a comfortable and safe environment for minorities that want to be in the same position that we are.
That's dope. Before I get you out of here, I do want to talk a little bit about, you played at the University of Arizona. We mentioned that. And obviously you're playing pro ball now. Has there been a moment for you between your journey, your baseball journey, where you kind of looked up and said, you know what, like, yo, this is, it's like I made it moment. Not obviously you got a journey to go. There's still a lot in your baseball. Was there something where, whether it was getting drafted or walking in practice for the first time or seeing, was there something where you were just like, yo, this is it now?
I would definitely say getting drafted. I've always dreamed about, hearing my name called or just seeing my name called or something like that. But I think all the work that I've put in, hearing my name on draft day was a sigh of relief. It was excitement for sure, but just validation. Validation. Like you're a great player. Like it was. There's always. I wouldn't say there's always self-doubt, but just going along this journey, there's times where you wonder if you still, like, yeah, 100%, exactly. That's what comes along with it. Baseball is a game of failure, so just hearing my name called, and it's like, keep going. No matter what we're doing on a daily basis, but every day I come out here grateful for every opportunity I get. It's like it's double A I haven't made to the show yet, which that's obviously my extreme ultimate goal. But every single day I come out here, and it could be single A, double A, triple A, I'm grateful for every opportunity I have every single day. So that's why I'm just humble enough to, I'm blessed and be in a great situation.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Dante, of course. I want to thank everybody at the Bay Sox organization. Gardeth is my boy. Thank you so much for all of your help in making this interview happen. There are actually more interviews from this series. We spoke to T.T. Bowens, who's going to be on the show shortly as well. A lot of things happening in mixtape world, black baseball mixtape world. So please, please subscribe to this episode. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. Follow us on Instagram because there's a lot of things happening. We just announced an amazing partnership with The Source Magazine where you'll be seeing Major League playlists from black baseball players in partnership with The Source Magazine and Black Baseball Mixtape. We've got a lot of new stuff coming up. It's really, really exciting stuff. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you're following on Instagram. As always, if you want to join the absolutely free group chat on Discord, please do that. There's a lot of conversations happening there on a daily basis. As I close out, I just want to again thank our partners, Stilo Sports, Players Alliance, Laurentia 21. Make sure you check out all their caps. Numbers Game, make sure you check out all their scorecards. There's just so much going on that I'm really excited about. Until next time, we're out.